Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Hi, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, inviting you to subscribe to our other podcast called The Grave Talks. It's where I sit down and interview individuals who've had extreme paranormal situations happen to them in their lives. Just search The Grave Talks on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Be sure to press subscribe and give us some stars to help spread the word that this show exists. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, the Western State Lunatic Asylum. The Western State Lunatic Asylum has been the topic of paranormal rumors and legends for decades. What are the menacing forces that live behind its walls? For over 120 years, the Western State Lunatic Asylum has been the site of medical experiments and has seen medicine and care turn from archaic to modern. The mad, the violent, and the disenfranchised of Western Kentucky were all once housed together inside its dark medical wards. Many became victims of garish experiments and arcane medical practices of another time. We discuss the stories of discarded orphans, the feeble-minded, and the criminally insane all living together in this man-made purgatory. It's these spirits that still make themselves and their torment known to the living to this day. Do dark forces haunt Western State Lunatic Asylum alongside the souls of the once living? We discuss all of that and more on today's episode of The Grave Talks with our guest, Steve Asher.
If you look at the situation that we had at the time, the hospital was built right around the time of the Civil War and a little bit before. And so it was actually pretty big, you know, for this area, because up until then, everything was more toward Frankfort and Louisville and that area. And so most of the time, people were kind of relegated to being farmed off to isolated areas by themselves, or kind of kept in the back room, that type of thing. And I mean, I've heard stories of people even keeping, you know, special needs people in barns with cattle and stuff, just because maybe they had violent outbreaks or whatever, you know, choices that they are choices that they couldn't really control and that they made. They decided to put them in there. So as crazy as an asylum, you know, pardon the pun, may sound, it was a step up. And it was sort of a thing where, you know, they could have some sort of structure and some sort of way to care for the people, because a lot of times, as bad as it sounds, you know, people in that situation, especially then, there wasn't a whole lot of social catch nets. This was the one way that they could sort of be managed and not be such a hardship on the family, which more often than not was probably struggling anyway due to it being during the time of the, you know, the Civil War and all that, which Civil War actually kind of crossed lines with the asylum at one time.
Really?
Yes.
When was the asylum initially built?
If memory serves, to quote Batman, I believe it was 1854.
Oh, wow.
I believe that's when it came online. So it's actually a little bit older than the penitentiary that came online in 1889.
Okay.
I was just going to add to that. See, initially, the incarnation and the way the buildings are at the moment were not the original buildings, because initially, you know, there was a large main structure, but it was mainly, you know, wood. Mm-hmm. And there had been a very bad fire that basically raised that entire building, which was set by one of the people, which is one of the stories in the book. And apparently the person said it purposely went into a room, locked the door, they beat on it, tried to pry it open, but he'd secured it with all his furniture, and they were able to see him through the little slide, you know, observation window that they had back then. And, you know, we're begging him to open him up. I used his name as Buck, and he was just like, no, you know, my work is done. And then he just had a smile on his face as he was consumed by flames. He was the only mortality or fatality of that particular event. But as time went on, it turned into the stone structure that people know of today. And there's a lot of different little buildings, because it's in its modern age as a hospital, not a lunatic asylum. You have drug treatment. You have a area for like a battered women's shelter, a lot of different things, a whole lot of different treatments and programs are set up there. You know, they even have like a little activities building, you know, almost like a dance hall and things like that. So a lot has changed from the early days. And even then, you know, it would be unfair for me to put it like these people necessarily were willfully trying to mistreat these people, especially at that time. Just like women's suffrage, you know, they were considered kind of second-class citizens, and it was sort of like, well, this beats better than whatever. Or they don't. Some of the people just like, well, they don't feel like we do. You know, it's that kind of mentality. But you know, there was a lot of things that happened and a lot of advancements that come through study and having these people here, which again beat having them out on their own, starving, possibly committing crimes to try to survive, because a lot of these people didn't have the intellect or the control factors to function in what we would consider normal society.
Let's stay on the earlier days of the asylum. Tell me about its brush with the Civil War.
Okay. I'm sure I'll get the dates wrong, so I won't even say the dates. I'll just say the situation.
Sure.
Because Kentucky is a border state, and Kentucky was conflicted as well, because, you know, it was a situation, especially the further you got toward Louisville and Cincinnati and all that, where there was more interstate commerce and trade, that was more north-leaning or Union. And the further you got out in the rural areas, just like in a lot of places, it's going to be more conservative, and they were, you know, more for the Confederates. Well, the problem was, the Western Lunatic Asylum was considered a state facility, but they would be like, whenever they'd have to get supplies, because, you know, they weren't able to care for the people and grow their own food and all that stuff at the time. And anytime they would get supplies in from Frankfort or whatever, they would either be hit by Confederates, or because if they were in Western Kentucky, Union would come across and go, oh, well, this is just another rebel facility, we'll steal for them too, and they would basically take what they wanted. And it was getting to the point where it was, you know, getting very, very lean on not just the staff, but, you know, obviously the people in there getting treatment. And it come to the point where they had to kind of make an alliance. You know, it's kind of like the devil. You know, the people that come through that were Confederates, they knew of them, and there was a particular general, or not a general, but I think it was a captain, and he more or less said, look, we need a certain amount of supplies, and here's what we can do. Instead of taking everything, it's kind of a Negan deal. You know, we'll take a percentage of what we need, but we will give you protection, and we will keep your line, as people are coming in and out with your stuff, keep it protected from the Yankees. I said, but you are going to have to give our men who are wounded aid, and those that can't make it home, you know, because we're in the middle of fighting, your staff will have to bury them. And that's what they did. They actually took their Confederate dead and supposedly, and, you know, interned them. The story is that worked out all fine, but there was obviously hard feelings and things like that being put in that position. And it was said that some of the dead were, just say, unceremoniously put in the ground, more or less kind of chucked in the clay, to use a Lynyrd Skynyrd term. And supposedly that there was ghost activity, or what you want to call it, you know, some sort of remnant and kind of bad mojo left from that. So It's really weird, because I never knew about anything like that kind of interaction until I actually really studied this. I mean, I know in my area, Western Kentucky, there was a lot of fighting, not so much right in my town and my county, but especially the further out where there was more trade routes and stuff coming through. Yeah. So that was just sort of a weird turn of events.
The accounts of paranormal activity. So that would almost likely, I would say, and then you tell me if I'm wrong here, would be probably some of the first accounts of paranormal activity going on at the site.
Right. Well, really, the well, you got to look at it too, is before obviously any white men were here during that time. You know, they were Native Americans, and they used a lot of this land was considered sacred because it was hunting grounds and Things like that. I mean, and not to mention there were mounds and things built throughout Western Kentucky and in Southern Illinois, the Mississippian cultures. And so it was a hunting ground and a holy spot as well. So there was already, you know, a mystical quality to the land before it ever come down. But it seemed like as soon as they had the asylum there, not to mention they also had the county poorhouse, which, you know, I don't know if you ever had a grandma that said, you know, well, you got to start turning these lights off, boy, you're going to put me in the poorhouse. That was a real thing. That wasn't just, you know, Grandma talking out of her, you know, talking out of her head. That happened. And all this stuff, all these different conflicting emotions and the confusion and sometimes just the isolation, you know, because a lot of times these people were isolated or conversely put together like a bunch of chickens in a hen just bouncing off of each other, you know. And it wasn't so much to mistreat them. It was just we got to store them some which way. So either they were completely by themselves or they're just overrun with other people. It just seemed like that helped to amplify whatever, I don't want to use the term psychic resonance because it kind of sounds kind of a generic term, but just it seemed like it amped everything else up.
Sure. That's understandable. As the hospital essentially migrated into more modern times and into, you know, 1920s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and so on, what was life like there as it got to, I don't want to say, I hesitate to say current, because we're still talking about quite a while ago.
Right. Well, you know, it's a thing. I'm a big hot Doctor Who fan, so time, especially if you do research, time is relative, and there's things that would happen today that you tell a situation and go, oh, well, that happened in 1814, or you talk about something that sounds very barbaric, but it's today in different parts of the world, or sometimes even here in the U.S. But as times kind of advanced and there became more accreditation and more of a uniformed use of psychotherapy and also drug therapy, obviously in those early days, you know, it was back in the day, hey, you got a toothache, here, have some cocaine, you know, here's this. Everything was like, oh, we found a miracle compound that fixes everything. Hey, you know, pregnant mothers, here, have some thalidomide to help you with this and that. And you saw what happened there. So it was very, very a tested as you go. And a lot of times, unfortunately, they tried out new treatments and new medicines and new therapies in penitentiaries, which is documented, and also in asylums. So sometimes things were better than they were, and sometimes they were drastically worse. You would find a lot of times you would have people being chemically restrained, you know, by a chemical cocktail or whatever. And sometimes it was maybe better in their eyes. They were more docile. But then also medicines build up in your body. Even, you know, if anybody, you know, has, say, maybe epilepsy, and they have to, say, take certain chemicals, certain medicines, and time, you have to watch the levels, because they'll get build up in your blood and can become toxic and cause a whole lot of problems. And not to say anybody with epilepsy is mentally challenged. I'm just using that as an example. So, I mean, there was an advancement, but also, again, it was still very much a rocky road. And then by the time you get into what was the maybe the 50s and the 60s when they were really using stuff like, you know, lobotomies and things like that, and more like some shock treatments and different things like that. Again, it goes to another, oh, here's this miracle cure, here's this and that. And there was just swaths of people, you know, being lobotomized.
I hope you enjoyed your 15-minute preview of our new podcast, The Grave Talks. Be sure to subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download podcasts to not miss any episode of the show. New episodes every single Monday. Just search for The Grave Talks and then press subscribe. Give us a review while you're at it and some stars that will help us grow in the rankings and let other folks know that the show exists to make an even better show for you. The Grave Talks. Check it out at thegravetalks.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too, Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow and Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten. Rakuten.com.